Wednesday, December 7th, and this is Geek Nights. Tonight we talk about Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex, the second gig, and a few comments.
Let's do this. Man, today was boring as hell.
Yeah, I mean, you know, days sort of range in boringness, but today had to be one of the most boring days ever.
Yeah, there wasn't so much going on in the news.
Wasn't so much going on at work.
No.
And if today wasn't, you know, go to the comic book store day, it would have been one of the shittiest days there is.
Yeah, I would have really liked to just stay in bed today.
I stayed in bed Monday, though. It wasn't any help that, you know, I accidentally set my alarm an hour later than it's supposed to be. And yeah, it was great. So, there's this piece of software that no longer exists as of very recently called Paralyrix. And what it did is it would go check out your ID3 V2 tags and the internet and all sorts of things. And it would, you know, display and show the correct lyrics for songs that you were listening to when you were listening to them. And they got a cease and desist letter.
From who?
From Warner Music. For copyright infringement.
But the program doesn't do any copyright infringing on its own, does it?
No shit. It doesn't do anything illegal. All it does is show you the freaking lyrics and use it, the internet in any means necessary to find the lyrics.
Yeah, though it is illegal to reproduce the lyrics.
He wasn't reproducing them.
Well, I guess it's the same way they got Napster. They were facilitating the illegal activity.
I don't know. It's weak, but the point of it is even though the guys probably weren't doing anything illegal, they're gone because they can't afford to fight it. It's like, if you can't afford to fight something in court, people can cease and desist you for pretty much walking and breathing. And if you can't fight it in court, then you'll have to stop.
Yep.
Yeah, it kind of sucks.
But there's really not an easy way to fix it. Lawyers are expensive.
Good lawyers
are more expensive.
If you want to do the suing, then you have to pay everyone's legal fees because you're so confident you'll win.
No, that's really bad because then people who want to, say, file suit against a large company, if they lose, they're completely hosed.
Don't sue. It doesn't matter who you're suing or who's suing who.
All right, how are they going to pay the lawyer? You realize that no good lawyer, unless they're working pro bono, is just going to work up front without being paid.
How about this? How about this? If anyone sues anyone, right, no one has to pay anyone until we figure out who wins.
What?
So if you sue someone, right, and you lose, you have to pay.
That's just, see, it depends, because it sometimes you might bring what seems to be a valid suit, and then you lose on a technicality. Things like that happen often.
Well, that sucks.
So what if you sue a large corporation for what is a valid complaint, but due to one technicality, they get out of it, and now you're stuck paying millions and millions in legal fees?
Yeah, we shouldn't have those technicalities. If your suit is a real deal suit, you should win.
Well, what do you mean real deal?
As in,
see, that's the jurisdiction of the, you know, judge and jury to decide.
Damn legal system being all complicated. We should simplify it to where freaking the judge just judges.
Trust judges for crap.
I don't trust judges for crap either, but at least we can have maybe a council of judges. Then, you know, they could even out the crap.
That's basically just a jury.
That's fine. Apparently, our legal system is based on the idea of a jury being okay.
Yeah, except juries really aren't that okay.
It's only because people aren't okay. Juries used to be just fine.
Well, and it's hard for smart people to be on a jury because people who are smart tend to make more money, and there's no incentive for them to be on the jury. And even if they wanted to be on the jury, the lawyers picking jurors don't want them there. Neither side wants smart people there.
Yeah, it's all a sham nowadays.
So I guess the moral is don't ever be on either side of a legal battle.
Don't go to court.
Yeah, just stay away.
Just don't go there.
If you get sued, just leave the country and keep promoting your piracy software or whatever it was that got you in trouble.
Yeah, eventually, you know, there'll be this, like, geek country where everything's okay and everyone will do everything there and the rest of the countries in the world will suffer.
Yeah.
Or
you know,
they won't suffer,
well for the robots in the Animatrix.
It did work well for those robots. They won.
Yeah, they kind of won.
Completely won?
Except that they're just in a simulation, too.
Still, you know, robots.
Nah, there's really nothing. There's just Colonel Sanders and that fat black lady.
Ah, Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, you know what? Whether you've seen the Matrix 3 movies or not, the end is stupid.
Yeah, just watch the first one, which is awesome.
Yeah, and everyone, just everybody the other knows. Don't it. Exist.
Anyway.
Yeah, so Microsoft is also on the legal side of things.
Always, at all times.
This time on the losing end, they lost another antitrust suit.
Oh, that's hard to lose an antitrust suit when your name is Mr. Monopoly.
Yeah, except this one was in South Korea, and they've been ordered, and while they may have had a valid suit that they lost, the verdict and the sentence are kind of silly.
What did they...
Microsoft has 180 days to offer three different versions of Microsoft Windows in South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
They have to offer a version that doesn't include messaging or multimedia components.
Mm-hmm.
They have to offer a version that does include them, but also includes links that are easily accessible to competitors' products.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to offer their normal version of Windows.
Well, they won't have any trouble offering the normal version of Windows.
Yeah, but they're...
And they don't have to remove IE. Removing Windows Messenger and such isn't really that hard. And changing a few desktop icons, not really that hard. I think they could do that in a week.
Yeah, but I just think those requirements are kind of silly.
They are kind of silly.
Oh, they were also fined $32 million, which...
You know what? They should say you have to provide a version of Microsoft Office that's actually secure and has good performance and is stable. That should be what they freaking sue them.
In 180 days, it would take them 10 years to do that.
Hello, they've had... how long has Windows been available? Since... Windows 95 is 10 years old.
Oh my god, that was 10 years ago. I remember when Windows 95 came out.
Yeah, they've had 10 years since Windows 95.
In fact, I remember being real dubious of it. I remember seeing that taskbar and that start menu.
And it's still crap.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and it's been even longer since Windows 3.1, and it's still crap. Remember
the level of crap is...
General protection fault?
Yeah, I remember that.
All right, so.
I remember getting blue screens and white screens.
I never had a white screen.
White screens were like kernel troubles.
Hmm.
Well, I guess the moral of that story is use Linux.
Linux. Ubuntu.
Yeah, there really wasn't so much news, so.
Yeah, that's part of why my day was so boring. I mean, not so much
work
to do.
We don't have music, because you didn't like our music.
Maybe we'll come up with something new soon. Maybe we'll not.
Yeah. All right. So my thing of the day. This is kind of cool because it actually plays into the jury stuff we were talking about just a few seconds ago.
And what's your thing of the day? I didn't see it.
All right. Well, basically, today, a 101-year-old woman finally died. Her name was Maggie Bailey, and she was probably the most famous bootlegger in the history of America.
Bootlegger?
Yeah, bootlegger.
Like...
From the age of 17 until she was 95, she was queen of the mountain bootleggers.
Wait. From the ages of 17 to 95?
Yeah, she made alcohol in stills in a fairly professional way and sold it. And when Prohibition came around, she kept selling it. And then when Prohibition ended, she kept selling it. And she was kind of a local folk hero down there in Kentucky.
What kind of alcohol did she make?
All kinds.
Good kinds?
Yeah, she was a friggin' distiller. She made all sorts of various sundry illegal alcohol.
Oh.
And apparently, she was real shrewd. Apparently, there's a U.S. district judge that personally knew her and was her lawyer. And he said, quote, "She knew the laws of search and seizure as well as any person I've known."
Yeah, when
she was arrested and tried some 36 times, and she was never convicted and sent to jail due to the doctrine of jury nullification.
She got jury nullified every time?
Yes.
It must have always been a jury of the peers in the town.
Well, basically what happened, and I consider this to all of you out there as a public service announcement, jury nullification is a right that you have no matter what any judge tells you.
Jury nullification rules.
The thing is, judges are not only are judges going to tell you that you can't do it, it is illegal for lawyers in a trial to tell you about it or to ask you about it.
But it does exist, and juries can do it whenever they want, regardless of what anyone says.
So basically what happened, and the precedent for this goes all the way back to before the Revolutionary War.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So don't worry about it.
It's mad old.
You can Wikipedia all this stuff.
I think it might even go back to Britain in juries by
Yeah, I'm talking about the history in America goes back to just before the Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, jury nullification is a concept that the people hold the absolute power in the judicial system, the people on the jury.
Yep.
So... people on the jury decide if you're innocent or guilty.
Yep.
However, if, say you're on a jury and you and the rest of the jury agree that while someone technically is guilty, say they did commit the crime that they are charged with, but you believe it shouldn't be a crime, you can just give them a not guilty verdict and they can't punish you. Juries can decide whatever they want, however they want.
Yep. A jury is supposed to say, you know, let's say it's a criminal trial, and if there's reasonable doubt, you're supposed to say not guilty. And if there's no reasonable doubt, you're supposed to say guilty. And 99.9% of the time, that's what you're going to want to do. Now, but if somebody, say, is guilty of, I don't know, downloading some MP3s, and there's no reasonable doubt, they definitely did it. I mean, they're standing right there listening to them on their iPod, and they didn't pay for them ever, and they don't have a CD or anything. If you don't think that that should be illegal, you think that's perfectly fine like I do, you just say not guilty no matter what.
Yeah.
Because you're a jury and you can freaking do that no matter what anyone says.
Now, it's been waning lately because a lot of juries and a lot of jury advocates and judicial advocates are fighting furiously to prevent people from finding out about it. But it pretty much hit its peak during Prohibition. They estimate that about 60% of all illegal bootlegging cases were thrown out due to jury nullification because most people in America drank alcohol and most people didn't want it to be illegal.
Yep.
So when they sat on a jury as someone who was providing their alcohol, they just said not guilty.
Yeah, but you got to wonder how much of that was due to, you know, like little Al Capone give a money to the jury action.
I think the fact that I don't think Al Capone would need to bribe anyone. Because
he
most
did
people,
in that movie.
Yeah, in that movie, because that's what happened.
It's close to what happened.
Look at that movie.
It's just dramatized.
Here's the thing. In the movie The Untouchables, the Untouchables are freaking awesome, and Elliot Ness is this awesome, awesome dude.
He was really a prick.
Yeah, in the real world, Elliot Ness was a giant cock.
Sean Connery wasn't.
People who knew him back in the day, people who actually knew him, talked about how much of a stickler for the rules and just a jackass he was.
It's kind
of
like Ken Starr.
Yeah. Or actually even good old Fitzgerald.
Yeah, Fitzgerald's a little nicer.
But most people liked alcohol, and they wanted alcohol, and they got alcohol. And if someone was arrested for giving them alcohol, they weren't going to send them to jail.
Yep. Nowadays, they would send them to jail, even if they didn't want to, because they don't know.
Now, there's two ways to play this. Say you don't want to be on jury duty for whatever reason. The 100% guaranteed way to get out of jury duty is to simply state at the beginning of jury selection that you feel obligated to inform the lawyers that you believe in the doctrine of jury nullification.
Hmm.
And I can guarantee that they'll kick you out of that trial faster than you can blink.
The other way is, if you want to be on a jury, like me, you can go in and then tell everyone all about jury nullification if you think that, you know, it should be nullified. I'm not saying you should just go nullifying all around the place. If you're on the trial of some guy who, like, killed his mom, and you know he killed his mom.
Like, they have a movie of him killing his mom.
Yeah, don't freaking use the jury nullification just to be all jury nullificationing. You know, when you got a hammer, everything looks like nails. Well, no, don't do that. If there's no reasonable doubt and someone's bad, lock them up. But, you know, if it's something that you don't think should be wrong, or you think that, you know, maybe there's another reason you have, like you're against the death penalty and they're going to give it to him.
Yeah.
Or if you think that he's guilty and the crime should be punished, but the current, like, sentencing laws are way too harsh.
See, here's another problem.
Like, he's a hacker, but he's going to go to jail for 20
years. Outside of death penalty cases, because a judge has to tell you if someone's up for the death penalty.
Yep.
They don't have to tell you what the actual possible sentences are.
You can look it up.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
And even then, the judge won't tell you. The mm-hmm. judge won't tell you if there's a minimum sentence for something, because they don't want you to think that maybe that's unfair and let the guy go.
Yep. But you know that, like, most hacking laws and such are, like, way too severe with the punishments. Like, a guy who hacks into a computer somewhere shouldn't get no 50 years unless he, like, hacked into a bank and stole a pile of money.
Yeah.
He should get maybe a couple years, or maybe even months, depending on how big it was.
Well,
but the minimum sentences are, like, insane.
Yeah, consider that minimum sentencing sets it up in many places where second-degree murder, you'll spend less time in jail if you were, you know, good behavior, than, say, having an ounce of marijuana.
Yeah, so if you see someone who, like, you know, does some hacking or some weed smoking or something.
Yeah, a punk kid who had, like, one joint in his pocket.
Yeah, and you don't want him to go for 5 years, even though you think they should maybe get some few months. that might be a time when you want to whip out the jury nullification.
Yep. So keep it in mind. Spread the word. I'm a big advocate of it, and I hope you will be too.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably the longest thing of the day I've ever had.
Probably. All right. I don't know.
Can you top that? 101-year-old bootlegger, jury nullification, all in one go?
Well, if the speakers on my laptop weren't broken, this video might be able to top that.
Okay.
This is the Japanese commercial for the Super Nintendo Zelda game.
Oh, my God. OMFG.
It's Link and a bunch of people.
Is that Michael Jackson?
They're doing a Thriller-style dance. It's a guy dressed up as Link and a bunch of other people doing some sort of dance.
I think I just saw Zelda doing a cage dance.
Zelda's in a cage doing a dance. And a Lizzlefos with a big flail is going to come after her, and she's going to scream.
Wow, Zelda's hot.
Yeah, she's a hot Japanese chick. She says something in lip sync, but it's...
And Link is a Bishonen.
Has a whiz robe. There's a spinning sword.
All right, that was the lamest thing I've ever seen.
Zelda escaped. Here's a giant guy in a Ganon costume.
Ooh, Ganondorf. Oh, it's the old school Ganon with the pig face.
Ooh, they're still dancing.
All right, I don't know how you found that, but, Lolcano.
That was an absolute Rolflecopter. Now, I mean, you've seen the one where it's like, you know, Legend of Zelda, and it's really rad. This, it just blows that one away.
Yeah, you want to watch this.
Yeah, so if you like to laugh at funny videos on the internet, this is the thing of the day for you.
So, the main bit.
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 Byte.
Main bit.
Megabyte.
All right, so we've seen the first four episodes of Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex Second Gig.
Oh, the second gig.
You know what? It's badass.
It's badass. I don't know if it's as good as the first gig, but there's a lot of fan service, you know, and while the fan service...
Not fan service like TNA, fan service like...
Oh, yeah.
This isn't really a spoiler because this is spoiled in the opener to the show, but there's freaking Tachikomas.
Oh, yeah.
All over the place.
All over the place.
Tachikomatic days are back and
in full force and most excellent.
And there's still a tiny Jameson.
Oh, Jameson.
And actually, I mean, the music's the same type of music, Yoko Kanno, and it looks like, unlike the previous Standalone Complex, this one has a much more contiguous overarching plot.
Yeah.
Even the opener lends itself to that. The opener shows like it's going to be this really epic kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the first gig was, you know, kind of like Cowboy Bebop, where maybe five or six of the episodes are plot and the rest are just whatever, and... This one is definitely, every episode is part of this big plot and has a role in it, and it's big time action, it's everything fans want to see, which is,
yep.
That's kind of the reason why it's not as good, is because it's just, you know, it's not really deep and awesome.
Well, I don't know,
I point out
the second episode, which was not at all what you'd expect from this show and had zero fan service.
Yeah, I mean, it's good, but I don't think it's as good as the first one. And it's not that I don't like the fan service-y parts. I mean, I love all that action.
Bato going, hey!
It makes you feel real good, and you're like, oh yeah, all right. But in the end, you don't feel that the show was as great a show. You just really like to watch it. Kind of like Initial D. Like, you can't say Initial D is a great show, but I could watch Initial D like 10,000 freaking times.
We still haven't bought that last DVD.
Well, it's Extra Stage. And
yeah, we haven't seen Fourth Stage yet either.
I'll probably get it on... Amazon or something.
Or the live-action movie, even though all our friends have seen it.
Yeah, I haven't even seen the anime movie yet.
I've seen the anime movie. It's really good.
Yeah, maybe I'll find it. Anyway, second gig, worth seeing if you like the first one.
Yep.
Absolutely.
However, only two DVDs are out, and the only real way to see it is to watch it on Adult Swim right now.
Yeah, and I don't like dubs, but wait. Well, I don't like that dub.
Yeah, I wish I could like more dubs, but most of them really are kind of piss poor.
I even heard the ADV guy say, or at least read him saying, that they just get, you know, the crap voice actors because they're cheap on purpose so that they can put things out faster.
Why do they just not even bother?
I don't know. I guess there are a lot of people who watch the dubs, and they need to get them on TV, and they're doing a much better job of getting them on TV. If you look at the Adult Swim lineup now, it's like, oh, they got their shit down. All right.
Well, I gotta admit, it's weird. Like, I can see a lot of new fans preferring dubs. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I first saw anime, I saw dubs because that was what was on TV, mm-hmm. on the Sci-Fi Channel. And then I started getting shows that, I mean, back in the VHS days, you had to pick sub or dub, and a lot of stores didn't have both.
Yep.
And I kind of had trouble watching subtitled anime because I could read it quick enough, but Japanese is a different language, and it was really hard to kind of understand the emotion or what people were.
See, it wasn't even. See, the thing is this: it wasn't even an issue for me, right? It was just I didn't even realize there was this sub dubness going on. It's like before I went to RIT, every anime I saw was a dub. That's how it was, you know. And I didn't notice if they were good or bad. It was just a show I was watching. But then as soon as I got to RIT, people were like, oh, sub-dub wars, blah. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Yep.
And then after watching enough subtitled anime, you know, and then you realize how you just, when you listen to the voice actors in the dub, the way they act and like, because you get to the point where you're not even getting the meaning. When you watch a sub, you don't get the meaning of what they're saying from the voice. You just kind of get this feeling from their voices.
But that's important.
Yeah, and the meanings come from the words you read on the screen. So when you watch a dub, you're getting the meaning from the voice, which comes across just fine because they say the right words. But the feeling from the voice is all wrong compared to the sub, and it feels kind of cheap a lot of the time.
Yep.
And incorrect and blah.
I mean, it's not always apparent right away, but the more I watch and the more I got used to hearing Japanese and hearing the way it was spoken, there's so much there that the American voice actors just really aren't emoting.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of things they're emoting just wrong. Or a lot of, like, the way they'll word things because of the translation that's painful. It's like, oh, why did you say that? That's just something painful to hear people say.
Yeah.
You know, but a Japanese person saying it isn't painful because I don't know Japanese. Maybe if I was Japanese, it would be painful.
Well, plus it's just different. I mean, they're in Japanese, you would say things that really don't translate well into English. They're not something an American mm-hmm. would say.
Mm-hmm.
They would convey that in a completely different way.
Yep. But anyway, regardless of that, definitely Standalone Complex, second gig,
yes.
High quality. So there were some two anime newses I saw here on the Anime News Network, which, by the way, the Anime News Network has a little annoying thing going on where they're advertising for this thing called, I think, the Fuckins?
The what?
F-U-C-C-O-N-S. It looks like it's some CG kind of show, but anyway, I don't want to promote it because freaking they re-theme their whole site into a giant advertisement for this thing, and it's really freaking annoying.
Ah.
So whatever that thing is, I don't know what it is. If you know what it is, tell us, because I'd like to know. I'm not going to click on any of these ads. Maybe
see, my ad blocker is so extreme that I didn't even know anything had happened.
Yeah, but anyway, I encourage you not to buy this thing or watch it or anything because of their pain-in-the-ass advertising. I've just basically now I've blocked every single image from AnimeNewsNetwork.com.
Well, I'm at the page now, and I just see text and nothing else.
Yeah, we've got all the images blocked. But anyway, the first bit of news is that Bandai made a little announcement. And the announcement isn't a particularly exciting announcement. I think they're doing something with, like, Wings of Hominaise or something
like
that.
Which is an excellent, excellent movie.
It is. Did I see it? I don't remember if I saw it.
I watched, like, a fifth-generation fan sub that craps out at the end.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't. The news isn't really loading right now.
I think there's something wrong with Pat LaBelle movies.
Yep. That's the major part of the news that I'm interested in, is that they're going to put Pat LaBelle movies 1 and 2, which are excellent movies, in a limited collector's edition box. So I'm probably going to be buying that box.
Yep, and they're going to be remastered and pretty, because these are kind of old movies.
Yeah, but they're excellent, excellent anime movies that
yes.
are awesome.
I mean, if you like Ghost in the Shell and all that, you'll love Pat LaBelle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Oh, okay, here's what's happening, is that they're making a new label for anime called the Haname. Wow, they're spelling it all weird. They're spelling it H-O-N-N-E-A-M-I-S-E.
That's how it's spelled.
I thought it was Hanamaze, not Hanimaze.
But anyway, whatever.
Whatever is that they're making that a new label and then publishing anime under that label.
Huh.
So I'm beginning to think that any anime that's published under that label is an anime that's the kind that we like.
Well, we'll see how it pans out.
Yep, definitely. All right, the second bit of news is in the fan subbing world and not in the pro world.
Ah, fan subs. The gray area of intellectual property that warms the cockles of my heart.
Yep, so Funimation sent a little message over to Shinsen subs, who are subbers that I know because just so happens a lot of the stuff I like happens to be done by them. And, you know, I just download my stuff from, like, torrent collecty sites, but their label is often on the ones I get. So they got a message from Funimation that says, "We own or control various exclusive copyrights and trademarks, blah, 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 blah. The series known as Speedgrapher, Trinity Blood, Fullmetal Alchemist, Dragon Ball, Salty Ray, a.k.a. Origin, Detective Conan, a.k.a. Case Closed, and Tsubasa. Blah, 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 stop doing that." And this is kind of weird because, A, no one's ever told a fan sub group to stop doing something that was not yet licensed ever before. Two, they haven't previously announced licenses to Salty Ray and Tsubasa, so now I guess they are licensed by them. So it's like a weird way to announce your license.
Huh.
And basically, Anime Ski took down Salty Ray and Tsubasa torrents, and the fan sub group, as far as I know, didn't. Those are guys that follow the license rules. As far as I know, they might not. So I'm pretty sure they didn't still have their torrents up for these other already licensed shows like Full Metal Alchemist and such. You know, it being on TV and on DVD already. So, you know, why did they list all those if those were no longer being distributed? And I was also under the impression that a lot of the American anime companies knew the score with fan subs and liked them, you know, as long as they went away, because that's how they were figuring out what shows to get and such.
I could see this being some guy in the company talked to the lawyer team independently of another guy and just had a notice sent and maybe didn't think it through or talked to the people he should have talked to.
I have a feeling it's that Funimation used to just be the guys who did Dragon Ball, and now they're actually, like, busting out big time. They got FMA and everything. And I think, you know,
they're upsetting the balance. They don't know how to deal with fan subbers yet.
I don't have a feeling that they're as cool as ADV and Viz and those guys who were originally fan subber types.
Well, maybe they'll learn, because the backlash of geeks that are angry is a powerful force indeed.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Funimation DVD sales started to go down. I mean, like, I'm not going to not buy FMA, but
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if a whole lot of people were like, "Hey, they were asshats about it. Now we're going to extra fan sub their shows," or something like that, you know. And there'll be this little, you know, split in the anime community or something. Wouldn't surprise me at all. I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Oh, a split in a geek subculture. That's never happened.
No, never. But, you know, we'll see. If it works for Funimation, would we see other companies do it? Maybe Bandai or someone.
See, I don't see it working for them. I don't see it having any effect on their business unless they do it too hardly, and then it'll be a negative effect. Yeah.
I see it having an effect over the years, because they, like, if they keep it going, right, and they get rid of all the fan subs, and then next year they just block the fan subs entirely, then they really won't know which shows to license, because they won't know which ones people like.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how they knew that Naruto was a hot property, was because there was this freaking huge, crazy stuff going on.
And all that stuff will still happen, but it'll be pushed more and more underground, and they won't be able to find out about it.
Yep. I mean, that's how Walden Books knew to carry Death Note in Japanese, and how Viz knew to license it right away. It was because freaking everyone was reading Death Note and translating it into English and crap. You didn't see them doing that for other manga, so Viz and such were like, maybe that's one we should do.
And it helps that anime fans play the game. They download the fan subs, but somehow DVD sales are still really, really strong, and everyone makes out.
Yep. So Anime Ski has complied, and I'm guessing the Shinsen guys complied. I don't know. It doesn't really say.
Well, we'll see what happens.
We'll definitely get some updates on this in the future.
Though, that being all the anime news we got a comic today.
Yeah, today was comic book day, and
Penny
I went to
Arcade.
The comic book store, and there's a 25-cent Penny Arcade comic.
You bought how many? Four?
I bought four copies because it was freaking 25 cents. I could have gotten more, but I figured, eh, my friends who don't go to the comic book store, they don't deserve it so much. And there are going to be other people coming to this comic book store who want a copy, so I don't want to, you know, make it so they don't get one.
I got to say, it's high quality.
It's definitely high quality.
It's not the beginning of Penny Arcade. It picks up a little ways into it, which is probably good.
Yep.
And it's just an excellent selection of what makes Penny Arcade funny.
It's an excellent, just all it is from front to back. This is, I think it's like 32 pages almost. Yeah. It feels like a 32-page comic of just Penny Arcade comics, three per page, really old comics. We're talking Dreamcast times here. Just, oh, bam, bam, bam. And all of them are very choice comics.
And you know what? There's only one ad on the whole thing, and it's on the back page.
Yep, on the back cover is an ad for Aeon Flux, and that's the entire ad. And the comic costs 25 cents. 25 cents for a comic book in a day when equivalent comic books cost like $3.
And think about what a good business deal this was. They give this comic away for free. Now they charge a tiny
Almost
amount of money
free.
For a tiny... It's free.
Oh, the comic online.
The comic online.
Is free. Yeah.
Now they charge a tiny fee for a tiny glimpse of the old part of the comic on a little piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to sell out.
Yep. Well, see, really, the reason that this is out is sort of consolation for the fact that the book didn't make it for the holidays.
Yeah.
But definitely a good consolation. I'm sure the PI guys are going to start making some serious green now.
You mean the PA guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to make some serious money with this, because I don't think this costs 25 cents to print. What do you think?
No.
Especially because, like, you look at a comic book today, the reason they cost $3 is because they've got, like, a bunch of editors, and they got colorists and inkers and all this stuff. This, they got none of that.
They didn't even have to make these comics.
They just took the comics right out of their freaking internet site.
They probably sat down with Gabe for like a half hour to work out all the coloring, since print is different from digital.
No, the guys at Dark Horse Publishing probably did that. They just probably took all the comics, digitized them, one guy laid it out, and then they published it. The guys' names are in here. David Nistel and Mike Richardson designed and published it.
Great.
And then those two guys just took the comics, made a thing, and bam.
I'm definitely bringing this to work tomorrow.
Oh, you're going to bring it to work, eh?
Well, because I had a relevant Penny Arcade discussion at work, which gave me a legitimate reason to show someone, one of my coworkers, a Penny Arcade comic.
Isn't Penny Arcade sort of NSFW?
Considering that IBM is a freaking huge company, they don't monitor everyone's internet, because they assume that if you're spending all day, you know, looking at websites or whatever, doing stupid things, you're probably going to get fired anyway for not doing your freaking job.
Ah, all right.
Which I like that philosophy a lot, because I do my job very well, but I also occasionally read webcomics.
Yep.
Well, we were talking over lunch about Wikipedia and anonymity and crap flutters and trolls and everything.
Really? Who's at work is smart enough to talk about that?
Oh, because there was some article on actual news sites about how someone abused Wikipedia to put libelous things up about someone else.
Uh-huh.
And there's this big scandal about it. And they were talking about how, anonymity causes all the problems on the internet.
Yeah.
And I directed my coworkers to John Gabriel's Greater Internet Fuckwad Theory.
Ah, John Gabriel's Greater Internet Fuckwad Theory.
I caused many people at my work to rofl uncontrollably.
Of course they would rofl.
And they pretty much all agreed that equation was in fact truth.
That equation is in fact truth.
So for anyone who's not aware, I'll just post a link to it.
Yeah.
No bother trying to explain a visual gag.
And, you know, for all you people who are like, oh, it's just a theory. Theory is huge. Hypothesis is what's crap. I think we need to bring the word hypothesis back into the vocabulary.
I think we do.
Hypothesis is when you think something and you can't prove it yet.
Yes.
Theory is when, you've got some freaking evidence there.
Theory is you've proven it as far as you can, and all new evidence continues to support it, and there have been zero contradicting pieces of evidence.
Yeah. Law is when you are like 100% sure there cannot be contradictory evidence.
Sort of. It's also more, law is a postulate. You're assuming it's true.
Yep. But law is like a super theory. Hypothesis is when you don't got crap. You just got an idea.
Or you've got some evidence and it led you to a conclusion, and now you want to test that conclusion.
Yeah, you don't have enough evidence yet, so it's still hypothesis.
See, that's the big problem with this whole intelligent design, stupid, whatever bullshit.
Well, it's one of the problems is that they go, oh, it's just a theory. No.
Yeah, so is gravity.
It's oh, yeah, it's a freaking theory already. Goddamn.
Yeah.
if you wanted to make fun of something, you would say, oh, it's just a hypothesis. And you would be right if, in fact, the thing you were making fun of was a hypothesis. Because that's like saying, you got no evidence.
Well, I guess if we fail, we'll just have to start teaching the theory of intelligent falling, because gravity is just a theory.
Yep, it sure is.
Maybe we'll do a podcast on this whole intelligent design thing.
Can do that when people come over who are all knowledge about that.
Yeah, like, we just got to find a creationist to argue with.
Yeah, they don't like to argue, and they can't really argue straight.
You want to pretend to be a creationist for us?
We'll try it right now.
All right, so evolution happened.
No, it didn't. You saying my dad's a monkey?
Here's all the evidence. Yeah, your dad.
It's all lies made by evil scientists.
Scientists aren't evil. Here's evidence of that. Cures for various diseases.
God says otherwise.
I don't hear his voice.
He told me.
How did he tell you? You hear voices in your head?
Yep.
Great. Good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck with your hell.
You know, I laugh, but at the same time, oh my God, there are people like that.
Yeah.
I mean, way back, actually, when we first started doing the podcast, we wondered about how we should tread on controversial issues. Should we skirt
around? We didn't wonder
them?
About that. We knew that we were going to trample all over our side.
Yeah, but we
of
talked
mat.
About it. Like, were we going to avoid saying fuck? Were we going to specifically go for issues that might tick off our readers? What were we going to do? And you know what? We decided right away that we don't care and our opinions are going to be well known. Intelligent design is bullshit.
Yeah. This is a real problem
now,
I see.
It's a valid philosophical idea. It's definitely a valid philosophy. It's not really a valid hypothesis because it's not testable. But it's philosophically it's fine. And I have no problem with people teaching it in a philosophy class or debating about it. It's not science. Anyone who says it is stupid, and that's the end of that.
Yeah. I mean, like, I noticed some podcasts, like, they try to stick to what their topic is, and they don't state their opinions about other things, or they'll always kind of not say anything super strongly because they want to get listenership up and all that stuff, but Rim's writing something down. Okay.
Well, I'm keeping track of what we've talked about.
Oh, okay.
You know, for all those links we post on the website that if any of you haven't visited yet, you should.
Yeah.
Because then you'll know more about what we're talking about.
Yeah. But, you know, I figure, hey, this is the freaking point of having a podcast and not a real radio show or something real, is that we can say whatever the fuck we want, and we're going to give it to you straight and full on, no holding back.
Yeah. I mean, even if somehow we got, like, crazy popular, you know, thousands and thousands of readers and all, or listeners, I guess readers, too, we have a website.
Yeah.
If some company sent us, like, an anime, and they're like, hey, review this, wink, wink, and there's $100 in it, I guess we're like Penny Arcade, we can't sell out.
Yeah,
it's painful for me to pretend I like something if I don't like it.
I'd take your $100 and watch your anime and give an honest freaking review. And if it sucked, I'd say, wow, this freaking sucked, and these people gave me $100 thinking I would say it was great.
Yeah. We're real opinionated about a lot of things.
Yeah. But on the other hand, I would not discourage any company from sending us free gadgets, comics, animes, video games.
Oh, yes. In fact, if we happen to get an Xbox 360 to review, that'd be just dandy.
Yeah. I mean, think about this. If some guys who review everything perfectly honestly say your thing is awesome, that's huge. And if you send it to us, that's like, you know, you saying that you have great confidence in your product that we'll think it's awesome.
Now, we're not saying us specifically so much as just people who are honest about things.
Yeah.
Like Penny Arcade, I trust their opinions on games more than I trust my mom on advice.
Mm.
Penny Arcade is like the gospel of games. They've never steered me wrong.
You know, they play the WoW, but they know.
Yeah, they know.
They know. Mm. Anyway, today's technically Anime Manga Comics Day.
Well, it's Penny Arcade Comics. We're good.
Yeah. But I did buy some other comics today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think I might, I don't know, if people like this, I might start a weekly bit of what comics did Scott buy?
Consumer whore.
Well, you know, I go to the comic book store every Wednesday. What do you want? It's not really consumer whore. It's I have lots of money.
When you tell them the story about that zombie comic you read, you're a consumer whore.
Maybe, yeah. So anyway, I bought this. If you don't know, there are people, when it comes to American comic books, they're like, When someone buys a lot of Marvel comics or like they're a Marvel fanboy, you call them a Marvel zombie. That's kind of like the inside word for it, right?
So, the more you know. Yeah. Do, do,
do. Do, do, do. So it was funny that a comic book came out today called Marvel Zombies. And it's basically, I mean, this thing looks like a freaking fanfic. It's like, ooh, all the Marvel superheroes are zombies. And here's a world in which they are zombies. Here's a comic. Read it. And it's going to be 5 issues. So issue 1 was out today. And I read it on the train home, and it was totally fan crap. I mean, you had Magneto here who was not a zombie, and everyone else was a zombie inexplicably. And they're in a city, probably New York, and the other superheroes chase them down, and I think they eat them. And then they spend a bunch of pages where all the superheroes are discussing with each other their zombie condition, and that teaches you, like, the rules of zombie in this comic. You know, because every different zombie movie is different zombie rules, right? You know?
Yeah, fast zombies, slow zombies, they turn you into zombies, they don't.
Yeah. They talked a lot about these zombies are apparently zombies that hunger but cannot be fulfilled.
Ah, okay.
And then, in the final pages, something happened, and I wasn't going to buy another one of these comics because it was obvious fan crap, but what they did on the last page, you're just like, God damn it, now I have to read the freaking next one. such bastards.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to let him spoil it for you, but he told me because I didn't care.
Yeah,
you
don't
care. And I read the whole thing, and then I saw that last page, I'd buy the next one.
Yeah. It was basically a comic book about nothing, and then they put a picture of a character on the last couple pages, and it makes you have to buy the next one.
So once again, I assert consumer whore.
Yeah, but the rest of the stuff I didn't buy was consumer whore. I bought the Penny Arcade comic, 4 copies of it.
Yep.
25
yep.
cents, man.
I owe you a quarter for it.
Yep. I got Sentinel Volume 2, Issue 2. Sentinel is sort of like a kid's comic, you know, and you had a little bit of shame to buy it. But I really like the Sentinel robots, you know, the ones that kill mutants.
Yeah, remember the X-Men TV cartoon?
Yeah, the purple guys, the big robot guys.
The ones that try to kill Jubilee every freaking episode.
Yeah, basically the story is that some kid, he's just a high school kid, and, you know, he's got some high school drama. And he finds a Sentinel, and since he knows a lot about robots and tech, he, like, kind of controls the Sentinel and does stuff. And the second volume is not as good as the first volume, but I'm buying it because, like, I want to support this kind of comic because you don't see Marvel or especially not DC, making comics that at least they think are in a sort of manga style.
Like, it seems to be in the same manga style that, like, Teen Titans was, though.
Yeah, it's sort of like that kind of thing where it's not really a manga and it's not really manga style, but Marvel thinks it is. And, you know, so if I support that kind of comic, then they'll keep going in that direction. And it seems to work, because, I mean, they're making a volume 2. Here it is.
Yeah, but even if they don't in the long term, manga's just going to go in that direction.
Yeah, so, you know, it just so I bought it kind of like a vote, you know, even though the second volume not as good as the first volume.
Yeah. I didn't buy the next volume of Cantarella.
Yeah. It's not out, but I wouldn't buy it either.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, you really want to give that vote for Yaoi.
Hey, it's not actually Yaoi. In fact, while it is probably the most homoerotically charged piece of literature I've ever read, there is in fact no boy action at all.
It's just Shonen Ai.
Not even.
No?
It's just innuendo and guys standing there talking about swords.
Isn't that what Shonen Ai is?
No, Shonen Ai is when boys actually like each other.
Oh.
These boys don't like each other.
So it's not even up to Gravitation's level.
Imagine it's the most sexual tension you can have in a homoerotic situation where there is absolutely no homoeroticism whatsoever.
Well, we've yet to see Volume 2.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right. I only bought 2 other comics, but they were the big trade paperback ones that, you know, I like to save money. And since I have a lot of money, I can afford to buy, like, a $15 thing, especially if it's cheaper than, like, 8 $3 things. So the first one I got was Marvel Team-Up Trade Paperback number 1, and I wouldn't have gotten this, this is something that I would never have looked at or bought ever, except the guys on the Comic Geek Speak podcast told me to get it. So I got it, and if it sucks, I'm going to yell at them. And if it doesn't suck, well, then they're a bunch of bastards for making me buy another comic book.
Nah.
Basically, it's this continuous story that's sort of on its own, which is what I like. I don't like any stories that tie between comic books. I could do a whole podcast about hating freaking crossovers, but in each issue, there are 2 Marvel superheroes that team up, and it's two different superheroes each issue. So it's like...
Is there a reason they team up?
Yeah, basically each comic book itself is a story of how two superheroes team up and then, I guess, unteam up.
Huh.
At the end, I don't know, I have to read it still.
Well, I guess my only other question, are villains involved in this too?
Oh, of course there are villains. But each comic book has two heroes that team up in it. And there's still a story that carries out between all the comics.
Huh.
So I have to read it to get more details. And if it's good, I'll buy the second trade paperback, probably next week. And yeah, I could tell you all about it then. The last thing I bought is this comic book called Preacher. I got the second trade paperback. Now, Preacher is one of them Vertigo books like Fables and Why the Last Man and all those. And it's about this guy who's a preacher in Texas. And it deals with, like, it, you know, there's actually a God, there's actually a heaven and all that jazz, you know. But the story is that God is missing. He, like, left.
Uh-huh.
And these angels were left in charge. And, you know, of course, there's a whole host of heaven with different groups of angels and crap. And there was this thing called Genesis, which is like the son of like a devil and an archangel or something. And it got loose and it entered this preacher. And now the preacher has this power called the Word of God. And he basically looks at you and his eyes turn red and he says something. Usually he says, drop the gun or... go fuck yourself. And then whoever he says it to does exactly what he said. And it gets kind of gory sometimes, and it's really serious and dark and cool and sort of westernish, you know, really serious, and it's pretty freaking cool.
Huh.
And
I've been meaning to read it, actually, but I haven't gotten around to it. I've been playing Mario Kart.
Yeah. It's very critically acclaimed. And I can see why. It's not, I don't think my like of it equals the critical acclaim, but I'm probably going to buy all of it unless it all of a sudden turns to crap.
Oh, good. Then I'll get to read it.
Yeah. I would definitely recommend that anyone with enough money buy at least the first two volumes. And if you don't like it after that, you can do whatever. But
yeah.
I mean, there are people out there who don't like Watchmen, and that is super critically acclaimed. Oh, yeah. That's all I bought. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's about all we've got, so...
Peace out, homies.
And that was Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for the opening music.
Thanks for listening. Please remember to point your favorite podcatcher at feeds.feedburner.com/geeknights to get the latest episodes as soon as they're released. Also, please visit our website at www.frontrowcrew.com for the latest updates and forum discussions. And whether you love or hate our podcast, we won't know unless you send your feedback to us at geeknights@gmail.com.